Blog Talk Radio.
I was born by the river in the little country. And like a river running, running. Ever since, it's been a long time coming, but I know change gon' come. Yes, it is.
doing this topic, this discourse called Time to Build, because I don't know whether most of you know it or not, that we're going through a time of change. And it's going to be an era of instability, as well as wealth just exchanging hands. Now, I know some people would hear that and go, oh boy, he's fear-mongering. He's thinking the sky is falling. He wants people to panic. And I say quite the contrary. I want people to get in their minds that as the time change, that this changing of the times is not about building up fear and crawling in a corner and say, I hope something comes to save the world. That's not why I'm speaking about this right now. What I'm talking about is that this change, this social instability, is actually a time of opportunity, if you can see it. And that's why I start off with the two quotes that I read. Creator. Now, I know that others will have a different name for the creator, and that's not important right now. What is important, though, is that in the Neter Sesson, the creator is given several attributes, characteristics, mainly the father, the steward. He's a father because he's so busy making that he requires nothing back from anyone because he's so busy making. And when I read that, I sat back and thought about that, that is the operation of a father, creator. I'm talking about mortal men. As fathers, we are supposed to be makers for our wives and our children. We are supposed to be creators of societies. We create the societies, the women stabilize them. Because when she feels safe and secure, she nurtures and raises the children with been in mind the safety that the man provides. I know I hear people talking about the creator and saying that the creator is a man. Or, nah, the creator is a woman. And I said they're both wrong. Creator consists of male and female energy. No, the creator is not a man. No, the creator is not a woman. And that's why I had copied down the second quote. Men that think so suffer, which is most ridiculous of all, for professing to bless and praise Amen, the creator, yet not ascribing to him the making or doing of all things. They know him not. We see so much chaos on the planet today because we have moving so far from our nature, men and women. We have moving so far from our nature. How do we find it again? Is getting back to the creator is the example, the hallmark of how men and women should be living on this earth. And because we have gotten so far away from that, we see our societies being destroyed right in front of our eyes today. Men in America Just so happens that I'm broadcasting on the day that commemorates Dr. King and the Civil Rights Movement. And earlier, there was a show on about Rosa Parks, the ancestor who sat in, didn't give up her seat on a public bus, I think in Birmingham, Alabama, and she was arrested for it. And that was a big event in the Civil Rights Movement. As I go on, I know that when the Civil Rights Movement was at its zenith, right beside it, the Black Panthers was building up their movement off of the assassination of Malcolm X. And at the time, still say it, that both perspectives was needed. And why was the Panthers needed? Because they was doing very brilliant work. Take in mind that the Panthers was a movement that was mostly filled with young minds. And, you know, my hypothesis is that the U.S. government seen this boiling up. Imagine if Malcolm X was still alive when the Panther movement started, and the wisdom that he would have brought to the table been much stronger and would have lasted a lot longer. I'm not taking anything away from the Panthers themselves, but we must understand that they were young men, so they wasn't fully mature. And that's why the enemy could move against them so successfully. Because their immaturity, they could not see the forces coming against them. And at the same time, I say the same thing about Dr. King. You know, I don't see Dr. King as weak. I hear a lot of, I hear some people when they refer to Dr. King and the Civil Rights Movement that they said it was pretty weak. And from the point that they wasn't fighting back. And, of course, that was a tactic that they got from, I think, Mahatma Gandhi, not to fight back. You know, even though when you study Gandhi, you see that he used that tactic as a strategy. It wasn't something that was meant to be a lifestyle. It was a strategy. You know, if a strategy doesn't work, you scrap it and you come up with something else. But our ancestors in the Civil Rights Movement actually made that a way of life. You know, 50 years after Dr. King, they still preaching nonviolence. It's not that I'm preaching violence, but I'm looking at the realistic side of this, a violent machine, and you're going to tell that violent machine that you're not going to be violent against it, so you're giving it authorization to attack you, brutalize you, destroy you, because you won't fight back. You're not going to do anything. You're going to be bigger than, and I, end of the day, I just said that strategy, it was the wrong strategy. You know, I read the book Nigger, the autobiography of Dick Gregory, And at the end of the book, he was saying that we walk around, we meaning black people, walk around bitter and angry at the world. And if we start practicing, or if we get rid of that bitterness and anger and start practicing love, that we will prevail, because love is much more powerful than hate. And he was right about that. Again, that's why when I go back to the quote for today, for Amen has only one passion, namely good. And he that is good is neither proud nor impotent nor the rest, but Amen is good itself, for good is all power. Now, good doesn't mean that I'm going to roll over and die and let you beat the hell out of me, and then I roll over and die. That's not good. That's allowing evilness to flourish. It's allowing evilness to trample over you and destroy you. But I don't want to get too far away from the point that I'm trying to hit. And that point is that Amen is the example of what men are supposed to be following today. The characteristics of a man. You know, I kept running into the word steward, which is one of the names of Amen is steward. You know, taking on responsibility. You know, as men, we are responsible for building the communities that our families live and thrive in. And I just mentioned the civil rights movement because I knew that after the civil rights movement, that the communities that black folks did have before it was destroyed, and hoping that we was going to assimilate with the mainstream American community. And so to assimilate in the mainstream American community, we gave up our own. And we're paying for it right now. We're paying for it. We have people that are talking about foreigners in our neighborhoods, treating us terrible, but we keep giving them service anyway. They send their children to college. They thrive and live great while we suffer with their terrible businesses. Because, frankly, black men no longer felt it necessary to invest in their own communities. And so foreigners seen the back door we left wide open, and they came right on in. Now, this is not about me attacking foreigners. It's not about that at all. What it is about is that we black men, we have stopped being stewards in our communities while we don't have communities. We control nothing in them. It's just a place that we come and lay our heads every day. It's a neighborhood. It's not a community. And so the point of talking about this is that since there is a wealth transfer that's going on right now, we have to rebuild our responsibility as men and to take back and invest in our communities and our families. No one's going to do it for us. We're going to have to do it for ourselves. We know that Well, not we. Most of us don't know. But I have a book here called Hoodwink by John Perkins. He wrote one of the best sellers on the market now called Confessions of an Economic Hitman. And he followed it up with this book called Hoodwink. One of the things Mr. Perkins said that was so was he was talking about the formula that economic hitmen use to go into what they call third world countries in Africa, Asia, and South America, and they burden them down with debt that they can't possibly repay. In exchange, they siphon off all their resources. You know, that was the sole duty and purpose of an economic hitman, was to go and siphon off resources from third world countries. Countries, we call them poor, and they're actually not. They have so many resources, and so they're not even aware of the wealth that they have in their own home. This goes for Black America, too. But I wanted to add that John Perkins was saying that modus operandi that these economic hitmen had on dealing with the third world, they first practiced it here in America on the African-American community. But he also brung it back to say that what they did in the third world, they brung it back home inside the United States, and they used the same methodology on their own people, mainly Black people. Now, they sell us junk and trinkets, and we go into debt for this junk, and that's how we are controlled here in this country, through the debt that was placed on us through purchasing a bunch of junk. We have we see this every Christmas, holiday season, whatever you want to call it. Now, I know some people go, well, I don't practice Christmas. I practice Kwanzaa. Same thing. Giving your money away to robber barons that don't care 2 cents about you or your family. As long as theirs is taken care of, that's all that matters. You know, Mr. Perkins wrote this book, Hoodwink, and there's another book, I don't think he wrote it, it's called The American Empire. Actually, I don't have that one right in front of me. I forgot who's the author of it. But we have to recognize that we as so-called African Americans, Black Americans, Moors, whatever name you give yourself, that we are a scattered nation within a nation. We don't see ourselves as a separate nation from these United States. And so we don't operate as a nation, and that has been our downfall. Time has come that we must stop separating ourselves with isms and rebuild our nations. Rebuild our nations. Now, again, the true history says that we've been gathered from all over Africa and the Americas. into the American slavery system back in the 1617 and 1800s. Comes to my attention that some of the original people actually took place in establishing this United States government. Yeah. Most of us find that hard to believe. But most of us don't know real history. Now, real history of being the original Native Americans. And then those people that study that history say that we're not even African. And my response would be, you're not digging, you're not tracing it back far enough. Man, woman, and child on the planet comes from that place called Africa. In the Haratic tongue that I usually refer to it in is Merita, the blessed land. And we came out of Merita and carried civilization all over the planet. So you can say that, you know, I'm a true American. I'm not from Africa. And you'll be cutting off your birthplace. It's true that what we call today black people were in this land called America way before the European even got here. And it was a lot of the slaves during the 1617 and 1800s came from right here in the Americas. Better yet, they was bringing them up here from South America. And that doesn't negate the fact that the Ma'afa, of course it happened. It's too much evidence around us that shows us that indeed that it happened. When I begin to study the Gullah Geechee people on the South Carolina and Georgia Islands, combination of okay, I've just been informed the live feed is about to end. If you want to hear the rest of the show, please dial in to 424-222-5376. Again, that's 424-222-5376. If you can't dial in, I will say first I'm in, secondly the world, thirdly man. Peace. For those on the phone and playback, I will continue. So as I was saying, that when I began studying the Gullah Geechee people and putting it together with the works of Ivan Van Sertima and Renoko Rashidi to see that so-called black man, woman, and child are global people. We supplanted civilizations all over this earth. So did we start civilizations here in America? Of course we did. Did we start civilizations in Africa? Of course we did. Did we start civilizations in Asia? Of course we did. We've been all over the world. A way of covering all of that up so that we think that we are just from Merita. Well, we are from Merita, but we left Merita and settled all over the planet. And so when I hear Moors and Pan-Africanists arguing about that, I'm like, what are you arguing for? You both are right. You're just not looking at each other's history and connecting the dots. And so the whole purpose of white supremacy that's practiced all over the world was to keep us from rebuilding those civilizations, rebuilding them, I should say. That was the whole purpose of it. Keep us from rebuilding those civilizations again. And so I see this time of financial and social unrest as not a time to panic, but it's a time to build. Well, some say, well, you want to build, you need capital to build. Yes, you do. I say that you have capital right in your own backyard right now. We look at black communities all across America, and I can say, for example, up in Detroit, I had a friend that's from there, and he told me that looks like a social bomb just dropped on Detroit. Going on all over the place. We just don't realize it. We just don't realize that America is for sale. Her skirt is up. She's selling it out. Now, I'm not going to go to the analogy of saying take on the mind state of a pimp and sell her out, but no, she's holding up her skirt because she's weakening. And she's thinking that if she can invite others in to pimp her out, that she can remain just a little bit longer. And when I see that scenario, I say that I don't see it as doom and gloom. I see it as an opportunity. And our women, an opportunity to build for our children. Because I know that our women, they deserve it more than any women on the planet right now. As much as they had to endure being our women. That's why I say build a world for them. Build a world for the children. A lot of us are so beguiled by the entertainment / pop culture in this Hellenistic world that we don't even take the moment to sit back and think about how to build something special for our women and children. And you see, this is a time where down your entertainment, begin to study the world that's around you. Know the Amen within you. Trust it. Bring it out. Things. For it gives all things. And when I name the good, I mean that which is altogether and always good. That's Amen. You may have a different name for Amen. Let's not argue about that. Use the name that you want to use, but understand the creative force of the universe is within all of us. Time has come to build. We can no longer depend on outside sources for the welfare of our women and children. That cannot go on anymore. It cannot go on anymore. That world again. That our women and children can feel safe again. And prosper again. We have to let go of the Hellenistic ideology of the thieves and vagabonds that came over here? How do we let their ideology go? Very simple. Turn off their entertainment. Stop letting them beguile you. You know, I remember a couple of weeks back when I, for some reason, I just got what I was reading, but I went to look up the word beguile because I remembered how it was used in Genesis in the Bible. But it shocked me when I seen the synonym for beguile is entertain. I went, wow. So this is what this entertainment is about. It's talking to you, black men and women. The serpent beguiled me. The serpent entertained me. Again, we know, I know, that the Bible is a concoction of Europeans galvanizing religious texts from all over the planet, and it brought it into that one book. But at the beginning of that book, it made a point to keep the land we call Kemet. Well, it's called Egypt in the Bible, but its original name is Kemet. And how it kept calling Kemet the land of bondage. That's what it kept saying. And yesterday, I just happened to maybe surfing through the TV and some televangelist was on talking about God, Jesus, and Lord, and mixing it in with prosperity, again, beguiling the audience, entertaining them. And then I was driving around today in some neighborhoods in Atlanta, and in the black neighborhoods, I just kept seeing churches. Everywhere I turned, I kept seeing a little church here and there. And that's when it popped up in me, that saying that the serpent became an angel of light. That's why you keep seeing these churches around here. And I don't say that to be funny or mean or nasty. But somebody's got to talk truth. Because we know that the churches have been siphoning the wealth of the black community for many years. Look at the big cathedrals that are all over the place. I know I was riding around on the west side of Atlanta, on the west end, and I was going down the street and I kept seeing ran down bodega style houses. And in the midst of, in the sea of those bodegas, this grand, big, massive brick church was sitting there, beautiful. And I said, wow, this is saying a lot. Grand, beautiful church in the middle of all this poverty. It said everything to me of what's going on. So it's exit the old style and enter the new. It's time to build. First, I'm man. Secondly, the world. Thirdly, man. Hotep.
Yes, yes, yeah. To the rhythm up. Feel God in the rhythm of the vibe. It's like this, yeah. Time to build. Time to build. Now as I'm building on, time the scriptures born. Verbal self born since rock sparked them on. No time for warning, the roots to shock, the dark sun, horizon with the local Bible, through my controlling. Feel my vibes fall in. Magnetical vows that boost my yes, y'all in. Uber please, son, my vibes don't speak. My dialect is broad and I'm always on peak. You know I flip my rims to the thickest of the east. You know I flip my cup to the spirits and the breeze. Every night, every day, observance is late. These immaculate forms my sweet tongue will translate. I'm traveling the bowels of abnormal suppressor, bringing measures to better those who wanna make it wetter. My cerebral fluid, other can do it, let's get to it. From circle to opponent, it's Trigon on my bonus. I rise it from the earth, from my blue egg birth. My destiny is my wisdom exert. When I'm traveling the world, I let them know what time it is. I let them know that it's time to build. Brothers driving from the east to let you know what's happening, baby. Give it to me now.
It's time to build.
When my microphone's up, you know I come to kick that funk stuff. I got the healing
now. To build.
And yes, yes, it's no bluff. It's just they raw, rugged, and rough. You know they're running it.
It's time to build.
I feel my blood spilling, and I'm drowning in the taste as I lie bait and treachery and mad days of hate. Cause spirits hold, of any color must get back. Flashes, the nooses, and sheets. You know I'm headed for the breakdown. No second guesses on who did it. A mind state fully equipped. Don't give me land just to bury in it. 6 foot deep to square. Simplicity's a first, while complex is going nowhere. Traditional doo-wop leads to the weed spot, leads to the dope spot, leads to where crack is hot. You talking that monkey do see. If I put that dynasty to my blade, what flipping monkey's gonna lead? Exercise a hoop, la diddy. Traditional doo-wop full of sinisters like biddies. So many brothers adapt to think they're pimping. 10 times out of 10, fake Mac dead cause they're simping. It's such a shame, son, the times of brew. Generation of death and the chosen of few. You got your robbing, stealing, cold ass, conniving, all vibing, stinking. Talking about they tribing, I think not. But now what to spank was enough. Now you got to deal with whole miles of crews and lots of niggas think they rough. It's time to build inside these.